Hello? Hello? Noel here. Them two simpletons, they're trying to record a podcast, but sure they can barely tie their own shoelaces. And he's after doing something to Maureen's microphone. It's gone scowways. But look, you're getting the podcast for nothing. You're getting it for nothing, lads. So just shut up and put up with it. And I'll keep an eye on them next week. Make sure they're on the ball. Okay, carry on.
Lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. We are bringing you Podcast 15, loud and proud from the gloriously sunny location of Two Johnnies HQ in the heart of the Golden Vale that is Kerr, County Tipperary. On this week's podcast, we are giving the Leaving Cert an absolute kicking.
There's a man who hurled senior for 19 years. He never caught a ball, but he knows how to drive it. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
Producer Maura will be grilling us with her mystery topic once again.
Sound, Maura. And summer is here, so we're going to be giving our top recommendations of things to do. And of course, myself and Smax are polar opposites on this.
I'll be giving five things you need to watch this summer. And like every week, we'll be rounding off the podcast with our yurts and dirts of the week.
Yurt and dirt.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Johnny Bell.
Last week's committee meeting, Mr. Chairman, we were a bit late at the podcast last week. It was up before the Angelus, so everybody hold on to your butts, all right? We got a snap. And one was kind of unnecessary. It was a lad, he had his togs around his ankles, and he was saying, "Where's me podcast, lad? I live for the moment of a 1 hour and 20 minute shite after work."
What the fuck's he eating?
Sure, he's taking his sweet time.
An hour 20 minutes.
Well, lad, if Noel's news doesn't loosen up your bowels.
That's great for about... It's the best thing since Senecott, lads. Also, you're not taking on board our health and safety announcements, lads. Do not listen to this podcast while driving, operating heavy machinery or lifting weights in the gym. One fella got in touch to say, listening to the podcast in the gym and I was taking the weights off the bar and you said that bit about Ed Sheeran driving a tractor in Glenroe and he dropped the weight onto the mirror. He said he's never going back to that gym now.
That came in all the way from Limerick today. And we were discussing living in the countryside versus living in the city. Now, Tara, who's abroad in Dublin, she enthusiastically encourages us to move to Dublin. She said, "Dublin is the business. There's always stuff to do. I live really centrally, so that's great."
She sounds so positive.
Well, I'm imagining how Tara talks. I just got a snap. So not just drink related, but stuff like park runs, all the fab parks, farmers markets, film festivals. God, Johnny, Dublin wouldn't suit you at all.
This sounds like hell.
Food festivals, art galleries.
Food's good.
The shopping is the best in Ireland, totes. Also, the great... the East Coast has lots of amenities within easy reach of Dublin.
The fucking East Coast.
Hoat, Bray, Greystones, they're all places. Sugarloaf, Glendalough. Now, Glendalough is not in Dublin, girl, come on. The nightlife is also a big draw. It's not the same as anywhere else in the country. Maura, you were a bit hard on Dublin before. Do you want to say it in there now?
Someone pissed on Maura's cornflakes that morning.
No, I just hadn't had breakfast, so isn't a bad
thing. Aha. That explains it all.
Anger.
We also have to give a shout out to Siobhan Walsh in Cork. She's been spreading the good word of the Two Johnnies podcast to all her work colleagues, including to a neighbour of Maura's who now works in Cork and had no idea Maura was producing this podcast. Now they know.
So has she been listening to you all along, not knowing it's you?
Well, she's only... Eileen is her name. She was like... I thought like I kind of had to like put it up on my social media a couple of times.
Oh, you did. You did.
Yeah. And then... Eileen messaged me to say, "Are you producing some podcast? Because my work friend keeps going on and on about it." So, yeah, it's like...
There you go.
Yeah, Eileen did say she's going to start listening.
Come on, Eileen. Come on, Eileen.
Listen to the bloody podcast. And a couple of episodes back, we were talking about why Irish people support English clubs instead of Irish clubs. And I had a man on to me on the snap. He said, the standard of soccer in the League of Ireland is dirt. So he says, now I had a great chat with a man last night about League of Ireland soccer. But anyway, he said, your man Sean Maguire was playing for Cork last year, left halfway through the season to go to Preston abroad in Tanland. And even though he missed half the season, he was still top scorer in the League of Ireland.
Says it all.
So, and your man reckons that people who are into soccer watch the Premiership because it's a higher standard. I wouldn't be a big soccer fan, so I can't really comment on that. Smacks, you want to say anything on that?
Soccer's a sore subject now for me at the moment. I'm just getting over the Champions League loss last night. I'd like to refrain from comment. And if I see Loris Karius knocking around Kerr anytime soon, I'm getting a slap of my forehead. Weekly roundup, what did the two Johnnies do this week? We brought the Big Show, a small show comedy tour to Arklow. Thanks to everybody who came. It's a great show, lovely place.
It's actually great. The crowd were up for it. They were bopping now.
Yeah, they were good. They were
They were all full of referendum jibes.
They were just mad for to laugh at all the seriousness of that referendum.
And we had a video up called Sound Boss Boy,
yeah.
Look that up, you whores, will you? Look it up.
It's a June Bank Holiday weekend coming up, and we are in the Bridge House Hotel in Tullamore on Sunday night.
County Offaly. Dan, dan, dan.
County, how did I agree to that? You definitely pulled the fast on
me. I did. I booked this one, so that's, I'm after wangling Smacks back into Offaly. County he hates so much.
Don't be saying that too much before I have to go and do. They'll heckle the fuck out of me there on Sunday night. I don't hate it. I've been to school in Offaly. Primary school and stuff. So like the rivalry up there now, like Tipperary and Offaly, to be honest, there's no rivalry anymore because Offaly are shit. I'm joking, lads. I'm joking. I love Offaly, really. Yeah. No, I'm not joking. Okay, topic number one. The Leaving Cert is just over a week away. There's young lads and young women pulling their hair out all over the country. It's a rite of passage for most of us anyway, for almost everyone, I'd say, and an experience that most of us would probably say that we didn't enjoy. So is the Leaving Cert actually fit for its purpose? This is a hot topic now.
This is not right, a hot potato, but fit for purpose. But what is the purpose of the Leaving Cert, except to get into college?
Mm-hmm.
So lads, get all hung up. We're talking about this. How many pints did you get in your leaving? Once you've been out of school for about 3 months, you need to stop talking about how many pints you got in your leaving.
I'm telling you now, there's people all over nightclubs in the country, and they're like, it just gets brought up, and they're like, oh yeah, I got 410 pints in Leaving Cert. Oh, and like, you'll hear it all the time, especially in small towns. Like, if somebody is actually quite intelligent, they'd be like, Mary down the road, wicked intelligent. Yeah, but she got over 500 pints in her Leaving Cert.
Yeah, but she's now a stripper in Galway.
No, but I mean, pints and the whole thing, does it actually really matter? I mean, like, you know, you could get 100 pints for doing art, and you could get 100 pints for doing chemistry. You know what I mean? I'm sure chemistry is a lot harder to do than art.
It depends.
Like everybody just does ag science for the points, don't they?
I don't know. Only the farmers do ag science that.
Jesus, in Roscrea, like, loads of people done ag science. Like, yeah, townies, lads who'd never actually even been on a farm.
That's not because Willie Smith was the teacher.
That is, you see, yeah.
He just talked about hurling all through ag class. Yeah.
That's probably why.
Or chemistry versus art. Like, I think there's some, like, so I did chemistry for the Leaving Cert, and I really liked it.
Jeez.
And like, I would have been good at art as well, but say like some of the guys that I know that were very smart and did chemistry, like, they couldn't paint a picture to say that, like, they didn't have an ounce of creativity. Yeah. They were just brains for, they had really good brains for memory retention and retaining information, but not for creating something unique or cool.
Yeah, I don't know, make for leaving.
Just to chase birds.
There was 23 people in that class, and I was the only lad. And people tell me I don't have brains. No, I did. Like, I did strange subjects for my leaving, like, as choice subjects. I done German, purely because there was a trip to Germany coming up. And like, if you done German for leaving cert, you got to go to Germany on the trip. That is the only reason I did German. Somewhere also in my mind was like, you need a foreign language for a university. I was kidding myself, thinking I was going to get into university. Like,
did you do German for your junior cert?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you're not a complete freak.
I didn't just decide in TY, do you know what? I'm going to start German. No, I did German for the junior. So I did German, history, biology, and home ec. So like, I picked quite hard subjects. Should have picked like handy ones, art, ec science. You see what I'm getting at here?
Art was great old crack now, to be fair.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's one regret I have, that I didn't do art for my leaving cert, because I really, really liked it. But
I remember
there's a lot of coursework to get done for art. Like, I'd say, like, there's no such thing as an easy subject. Like say I did accountancy for my leaving cert, right? And it's a very easy subject to learn, but it's hard in that it's so boring and it sucks the life out of you trying to sit down and actually learn something. So I'd say you'd always be better off picking a subject that you actually enjoy for it.
Yeah, definitely. And the same, well, look, that's the same as you, that Limerick fan says, same a walk of life, you know?
No more about it.
No more about it. That you enjoy, do that, right? I painted a big picture in art class one day, and it was, I painted a Slayer concert, right? It was about a 4 foot wide by about 2 foot high picture of a Slayer concert I was at in the old Pint Depot.
Thank God I didn't know you, man, when we were 17.
So, the album they had out at the time was called God Hates Us All.
Please, if you're listening to this podcast, don't switch it off. Things will get better.
And I painted it, right? And then my art teacher was like, oh, that's actually quite good. Like, the crowd was done all like charcoal. It was mental, right? And I was like, can I hang it up? He's like, go on. So, yeah, hang it up. So, myself and the boss, Casey, we got a ladder. And we...
the boss, Casey.
We went out into the hall. And down the sixth year area, we hung it up on the wall, this big 4x2 painting of a Slayer concert. And I came back after lunch, and wasn't the priest fat or night after taking it down?
He wasn't a fan of Slayer, no?
No, he preferred Metallica. So and I says to him, fat or night, you have me painting gone. And I said, you can't be hanging that up in school. So I had a big row with him, and I got it back.
Did you?
And I still have it. It's inside in the front room behind the piano.
I'm going to have a look at the, after this podcast.
We'll post it up on the Snapchat
Oh, that's brilliant. But like going back, like how was your experience at Leaving Cert, Johnny? Do you actually remember anything from your Leaving Cert? Like I know it was in 1974, but like...
What, the experience of the exams or actually learning it?
The whole progress or, you know, concept. Can you remember that?
Yeah, so I think you're fair stressed about it like a month beforehand. But by the time you get to it, I didn't care.
No.
Absolutely just not, didn't give a shite by the time I got to it.
I think like a lot of people think like, oh, my parents, I have to do well like to impress my parents. But like in all fairness, like if your parents are any way normal human beings, like they'll be like, don't worry about it. Like, you know, it'll be fine. But obviously they want you to do well. So like if there is kids out there who are listening to this podcast, hopefully they're over 18 anyway for a start. But like, you know, if they're doing their Leaving Cert, freaking out, like don't be freaking out. Like.
Nah.
Yeah, exactly. Like now, in fairness, like I should have repeated mine.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I wish I did. But like, you see, I just wanted to get to college. Mm. Just wanted to crack, you know. But like,
there's only so much crack you can have.
Yeah.
In sixth year.
In sixth year, yeah. You see, you're kind of reined in. You're still living at home, and unfortunately, you got school on a Monday morning.
You got sick of shifting birds. You wanted to go to college and kick on.
Kick on. Wanted to progress
your education.
Yeah, my education. But yeah, no.
So it's mad stressful. I think there's too much stress on young people. They think their whole life is going to be decided by this few weeks, and it's not.
No.
I never used anything from my Leaving Cert. No, since the day I walked out the door with my pints in my hand and the parents rang me, nobody has asked me about school. No job I ever did. It didn't affect anything. And I needed to know afterwards. I went and learned myself night courses, all that crack.
Like when I was applying for jobs and stuff, like I just made up all my Leaving Cert results.
Yeah, nobody's going to check.
Honestly, if you're going for a job in Supervalue, like,
yeah,
you're not going to be checking like with the school what you got in your Leaving Cert or whatever. Like,
yeah,
who does that? Like, I said that to Johnny. I said I reckon you could do that with a diploma as well. Like, just go online and make a diploma and be like, yeah, I got an arts degree there in Galway. Like, would employers actually check that?
Are they going to ring Galway?
Like, how do you check it?
I don't know. Maybe if you're going for like a civil service job or something, they might check it. But I'd say like
they have loads of time on their hands.
Yeah,
a company with a proper HR procedure. If you're going for like a high paid job or whatever. But my experience of the Leaving Cert was like it was hugely stressful because I didn't particularly like I was going for a high points course, which was originally like my first choice was veterinary medicine, and I'm
Jesus, Mara, Mother Christ.
God. Yeah, but I'm so lucky I didn't get it because I actually hate it. Like,
you have to look after the two of us. That's
two animals.
I like to kind of change what I'm doing every 2 or 3 years or so, like going to something different or slightly different or various. So like but if you're a vet, you're staying a vet. And plus, like, you'd be covered in shite the whole time.
Misery.
You have to deal with ignorant farmers.
Farmers will be going crazy.
Well, some of the time. Most farmers are very nice. But yeah, so I was really lucky at that. But, like, I definitely think that, like, the fairness of the Leaving Cert in terms of, like the one thing is, like, okay, there's the education element of the Leaving Cert. I don't think you're really educated in any way that's really meaningful or useful. Like, you're not really, like, say for English, okay, or the English Leaving Cert exam, like, I didn't have a very good English Leaving Cert teacher, and she, like, we just spent the whole time, like, learning texts or whatever, and, like, paper one is supposed to be all about creative writing, but we just, because there was so much coursework to get through, and she was really slow getting through the coursework, we just spent the whole time doing, like learning Macbeth and whatever.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, Strictly Ballroom, and then...
I don't Macbeth by Fidel even myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gas man.
I would, while it was smiling in my face, have plucked my nipples from its boneless gums and dashed its brains. There you go, lads. That's Lady Macbeth.
I heard you reciting that to a young one night now. It's definite regurgitation.
Yes, you said it, boy. That was the word. That's the word. Yeah. It's just memory, like.
Yeah, like, if you do well in your Leaving Cert, it only means two things. One, that you're a hard worker, and the second thing is you have a huge capacity for a good capacity for memory retention.
Be class on that game show, you know, where you just remember stuff all the time.
Memory man.
Yeah, there you go.
Jimmy McGee, boy. I'd say he's some Leaving Cert, huh?
But if you do badly in your Leaving Cert, it is no way an indicator that you're not going to be successful in later life.
Oh yeah, I have a couple of friends who don't have Leaving Certs at all, who've gone on to be quite successful.
I think nowadays, though, you've got to have a Leaving Cert. Like.
Yeah, well...
You don't really. Like, my brother doesn't have a Leaving Cert, and he went back to... He joined the army, and then he...
Do you not need... You don't need a Leaving Cert for the army?
I think he's dyslexic, and so I gave him an Andy McNab book to read. You know Andy McNab, the SAS soldier, and was like, oh, this might help you if you got into reading. And then he decided, actually, no, I'm not going to do my Leaving Cert, I'm going to join the army. So he joined the army and then did that for 5 years. And then once you're over 23, you can get into
prison. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Degree.
Of course, then, yeah.
As a
mature
student. And he went and did culinary arts, and he's now working as a chef and, like, has an absolute time of his life, like, working over Galway.
Near a Leaving Cert.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
To be fair, like, what we're at now, we probably don't need a Leaving Cert, like, certainly not. Just need a nick, like a jockey's ballocks.
We can talk good.
Just touching on that, like, I don't remember a whole pile from my Leaving Cert, to be honest with you. Like, I just remember I wasn't really that stressed, like just not a whole pile of shit, like, gets me stressed, to be honest. Like, I remember, like, the night before the biology exam, I had asked my teacher, like, for 2 weeks leading up to now, he was a poor teacher.
As you're just taking this opportunity to stick the knife into all teachers.
One teacher, that's yeah. All.
Yeah, and Miss McGurk, she was another bitch.
No, and I said to him, look, I think I'm as well off doing pass. I don't, like, because I only got, like, 45% in my mock in honours biology. Yeah. And he's like, no, do honours now, do honours, you'll be grand. So the night before the exam, picked up the biology book. And he literally opened it and then just went, nah, fuck this, closed and threw it back on the floor. I went out and had a few pucks. And then I failed biology for my leaving. And it fucked me over. I didn't get the points in for teaching because I failed biology and I had to count past maths, which I scraped by in. But I think they should gear the Leaving Cert more towards actual real life. As in, like, they should show you, like, here's how you do your tax returns.
Yeah.
That's helpful shit.
Driving.
Yeah, driving. Stuff like that, like.
Yeah.
Like, when are you going to need to write 8 pages on Macbeth?
Yeah.
In your adult life?
Is PE a Leaving Cert subject?
No.
No.
It should be,
yeah.
Because, like, you think of, like, how important physical education, like, that's only something I realised as I got older, like, how important it is to stay physically well and, you know, for your mental health as much as anything. Like,
oh, yeah. So,
but I do think the Leaving Cert is fair, though, in terms of getting into college, like.
Maybe so. I don't really like the points rest, to be honest with you.
I would like to see it be more project based.
Yeah.
Like, I did construction studies, and part of it was you had to build, you know, a little wall and roof it and that. And that stuff that I had already picked up at home, which has probably stood to me, being able to, there's a job, go out and fix the problems yourself and get good at using your hands. And that has definitely stood to me a lot more in life than, you know, learning the names of all the rivers in Connacht. Like.
Did you do geography?
I can't even remember now. I blanked it out.
All I remember from my Leaving Cert is the weather was unreal. Yes. It always is for the Leaving Cert. Mm. I had a pair of shorts on. I'd done the whole Leaving Cert wearing shorts. And one day even wore in the vest. Thinking about it now, it's quite like, because I'd gotten a new tattoo, like, you see, the week before the Leaving Cert. Like, and
Were you late?
I went to school in Ross Cray. Boxed the head off the examiner if you wanted.
I'd love it. Just thought of it. I was talking to my cousin from Australia the other day. He's an old lad now. He's retired. And he told me that he just went an entire year, 365 days, wearing shorts.
That's the dream. That is the dream, honestly.
He's retired. Nobody can make him wear pants.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to make a decision now to not wear pants anymore.
Ever again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That's it. Grand. Well, I'll be wearing a suit.
But the one thing about the good weather, lad, all the girls, they're not wearing jumpers, which makes it...
Oh, yes, man. Get your shirts on.
Bra season.
Yes. Oh.
You knew a girl, there was a girl in my class who wore a black bra with a white shirt.
Who's that? Don't name her on the podcast.
She's married to one of the boys now. That'll narrow it down locally. And it was great. Bra season was what it was all about.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
And for our engineering was another subject. Oh, it's all coming back to me now.
Has Celine Dion said?
Engineering, you had to make this project. You had to make like a compressor. And there was one girl in the class. And she had what we called the magic press. So if there was something wrong with her project at the end of class, she'd put it in the press. And when she came back into class the next day, it'd be fixed magically.
No way.
The magic press.
What was happening? The teacher was doing it.
Teacher's fixing it, yeah.
Had she a special relationship with the teacher?
I don't know. She was a good looking bird in fair style. So I hope your engineering stood to you, Laura. Well, when I was doing the Leaving Cert, my mother was always slagging me. We came home at lunchtime, myself and Gonzo, and we used to walk across the railway tracks. We could get home pretty quick. And we were here. We started jamming one lunchtime there after whatever exam we had in the morning. We're jamming away. Then it was like, oh shit, like we're late for the exams. And just as we were going out the door, didn't your man arrive on to read the meter for the electricity? Liam Harper. And I was like, how are you, Liam? He's like, I'll just be 1 minute there, I want to read the meter. And I was like, I'm late for the old Leaving Cert there, lad. I won't be 1 minute. So we left him in and Liam read the meter. And then we walked back across town. And when we got there, the Irish Oral had began. Yeah. Which is the one where they played the tape.
The tape, Oral.
Yeah. Oural.
Yeah.
They were
cool, Mark.
They were 10 minutes into the exam. So myself and Gonzo rocked into the big hall.
Yeah.
And they stopped the tape. And we were like, here, you may get it going again there. So they wound it back and they played the tape from the start again. And everyone was delighted because everybody got to hear the first 10 minutes twice.
That's a good idea. There'd be young lads and young ones all over the country now trying to come in late into their tape exam. So, like, I guess the Leaving Cert is fair, like, in the sense that it doesn't matter if, like, you know, your dad's in prison or whatever, or he's the local superintendent. It, like, nothing in your personal life, I guess, you know, it's just about pints. Unless you're good at GA. Then you'll get into any college. Honestly,
I feel like it's just not examining you on the things that are going to make a successful person. There's no way to show your initiative, your problem solving ability. You know, like some people are real people persons. They have charisma and they can really good communicators. I don't think there's any way to, you know, like there's no making a presentation in your Leaving Cert.
Yeah. And
which is a huge part of your work life, probably, for a lot of people.
And plus, if you get to college, like, you've definitely, at some point in your college life, going to have to make a presentation to a big group of people, like.
Mm.
Yeah. And, like, that is tough, like. Like, it was grand. I remember when I was in college, like, I had to do a presentation, and it was grand.
You just talk shit straight through.
But, like, that's what we do for a living now, like. So, it's, like, I definitely think they should, communication and stuff should be a big part of it, like, physical exercise, like Mara was saying, like PE has to be an actual, yeah. They should definitely have it as an actual subject.
Computers?
Yeah.
Is that a subject now?
I don't know. Well, religion is a subject for leaving now. We've been to Johnny's school,
yeah,
doing stuff, as two Johnnies, and like we went back to my school as well for Mental Health Week. And we didn't talk about mental health, right? We just had to crack. Like, done a few
we
songs.
We got that big Polish lad up to sing.
Yeah, Vlad boy.
Vlad. Oh.
Shout out to Vlad boy. Yeah, he got up and sang with us. It was great. It was great for the kids, but like it was so strange. Like it was in the staff room and stuff. Like and like the teachers are coming over then. Like you know, teachers that are still there from.
You're still calling them miss.
I'm still calling them miss and everything. Like, John, like I don't know what to say. Like, but like even my English teacher like messaged me on Twitter and was like, oh, it's good to see you're flying. And I was like, yeah, I always told you like. I didn't need English.
Your life's work is meaningless.
Yeah, I used to give her a reply saying, it's grand, miss. I'm a county minor. I'll be looked after. Yeah. But I wasn't. I wasn't looked after, really. But, like, the strange thing from school is, like, you're so spoon-fed.
Oh.
In school, it's actually, like, people don't realise this now, even people who are probably in school. Like, you're so well looked after. Like, the teachers actually care. Then you get to college. They don't give a shit. I mean, like, you know, there's no one going, oh... You know, this is how you do this, blah, blah, blah. You're just on your own.
Do you know if you're in school and you get something wrong, teachers don't really give out to you because they're too busy giving out to the lads who don't try and the lads who are like eating markers down the back. Whereas when you go to a building site and you get something wrong, even if you tried your hardest.
It don't matter.
You're going to get fucked out of it.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time in my apprenticeship, like forgetting to do the last bit of a job and that looking at it, it looked fine. And they're like, you didn't do that bit. And they're like, what are you doing? Like, got a bollocking for it, like.
Yeah.
And you don't do it again.
Yeah, that's...
Because I was 16 doing my Leaving Cert. I was the youngest by in school.
That's young, man, to be doing your Leaving Cert, like.
Yeah, but then I was...
Why didn't you do TY?
I wanted to ball on, man. I was going to be a rock star. Get the fuck out of Dodge, man.
I done TY. Brilliant. I really put that down to, like, a lot of stuff we're doing now. It kind of brought me on my shell big time. I'd make that compulsory.
Well, no, because it didn't suit me at all. Like, I did like doing the musical, but the rest of it I hated. And, like, I was in an all-girls school, and I just I hated being in an all-girls school.
Yeah.
Like,
You'd want the old bit of testosterone in around the gaff.
Yeah, well, no, but, like, I don't know, it's just...
They're all bitches, basically, isn't it?
No, they're, like, most of the girls in my class were lovely, but I just think, like... The crack in school was different to the crack you'd have up at lunchtime when you meet the lads. Particularly because I had really good friends from primary school and you only got to see them at lunchtime and have the crack. But like,
By have the crack, you mean shifting I never shifted at lunch either. No way, man. I chicken roast at the end.
Yeah, after school.
After school.
After school, come on.
Yeah, the old walk home maybe.
Yeah, around the back of the science labs.
Yeah. I never done it on school grounds now, Johnny. You naughty, naughty chaffinch.
Did you not?
No. No, never. Never in school.
Can't believe that. And you a county minor?
Yeah. No. And I had the jacket. I used to wear the jacket to school every day. The tip jacket was like, it was navy when I got it. It was fucking white, I'd say, by the end of the sixth year from all the washing. I would bring in more life-based stuff. That would be the change I'd make to leaving. You know, stuff that will actually help you. In life.
Yeah.
That's the changes I'd be.
That's it, yeah. Because the exams are stressful. They are like. No, not to me personally. I didn't care. But I remember in my FOSS exams, actually, a lad had to repeat his final exam in FOSS, the drawn, and he had to fly home from Australia. So he arrived in these big baggy tracksuit pants and he had about 2 inches of papers like sellotaped around the shin of his leg. So when he'd get up to go to the jacks, he'd be straight legged, like Pinocchio walking out to the jacks there.
And then, I cheated in my Leaving Cert. I guess I can say it now. I'm not going to be arrested.
Oh, yeah. What did you do?
Was it my junior cert? Yeah, it was my junior cert. So we were doing Columbus. And, like, you know, you'd have to name his, like, the journey he went on and all that. So I just, at the time, I had a Vodafone flip phone. Do you remember them old camera phones? One of the first ones. And he used to flip out.
Yeah.
And I just took a picture of the page of my history book and put it as my screensaver. Then I just popped the phone out and look at it. And I'd have all the information there. Write it down. I'm sure everybody cheats. And plus I brought in like maths formulas.
Yeah, everyone does that.
And yeah. And just went out to the toilet like.
Don't cheat in your leaving.
Just went out to the toilet and opened it up and read them. Fuck it. Be grand.
Whatever.
Listen, that's another thing in life. You gotta do whatever it takes to get on.
Yeah, did you think
that means cheating in your Leaving Cert?
Don't cheat.
Hey, did you think TJ Reid always plays by the rules, does he?
Yeah, there you go.
I definitely think it's a good thing to be like, because I went to an all girls school, like the thing is like it's drilled into you, like, oh, be a good girl. Don't be, like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But don't in your Leaving Cert.
The youth of Ireland are fucked if they're listening to this podcast. And can I just say, to anybody sitting the Leaving Cert exams, don't be freaking out, lads. There's more to life. Jesus Christ, get over it. It's only an exam. It's not the end of the world. And if a friend is saying, I'm doing nothing for the Leaving Cert, which is I'm not studying at all, they definitely are. We all know those people. I've not done at all. And then like,
they come out with 500 points. Yes. Oh God, I suppose I did a little bit.
So don't be listening. Play your own game. Worry about your own problems. And don't be freaking out, lads. It'll be grand. And if there's anybody looking for any advice on how to cheat in exams, you can contact me.
There you go.
That's the Leaving Cert.
You went to college, I did an apprenticeship, and
neither of us. Yeah. So, there you go. Our whole life is a joke. That's the Leaving Cert for you, lads.
Best of luck.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the Two Johnnies podcast. And don't forget, you can get in contact with us on Snapchat at JohnnyBTipman, at JohnnySmacks, and also the same on Instagram. And you can email us even if you want. Mad jokes, thetwojohnnies@gmail.com. And use the hashtag #TwoJohnniesPod. That's the digit 2. JohnniesPod. And you can get us on Twitter, Instagram, the whole lot. We do check that hashtag.
Ah.
My God. He's here. You heard that cough, lads. That means only one thing. He drives a Mazda. Sports a farmer's tan and smells of Old Spice. Ladies, calm yourself. It's Noel Furlong. And it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News. It's Noel's News.
Well, young fella.
Well, Noel, take it easy on me today. I'm gentle.
You're fucking soft every day.
I'm fragile, lad, today. How are you?
Mr. Glass, they call you.
Did you have a good weekend?
I had, yeah.
Did you do anything exciting?
Not that it's any of your fucking business.
And exciting, no?
I'm just back from Semple Stadium.
Well.
Draw.
Did you enjoy it?
More money for the guy. I did. Tip started off fucking useless.
Yeah. They got there, though.
I was going getting the boots.
Were you?
Yeah.
You want to shake them up?
I was going ringing Mick Ryan saying, Mick, you can put me on now.
Zipped off the tracksuit.
Never wore a tracksuit.
Did you not know jeans?
19 years I wore. I played senior hurling.
Oh, God.
And I never wore a tracksuit.
Good man, Noel. What have you got for us this week anyway?
Well, when are you going to fix that music?
I'm working on it. Myself and DJ Khaled are coming together now.
Another prick.
We're thinking about, you know, remixing it maybe.
Fucking Iggy Pop, whatever it is.
Go on, brace yourselves, lads.
Now, first story this week. Australia. Right? They have a big wildlife sanctuary, right? They're after building a fence. 27 mile long electric fence. Just keep out cats.
What?
That's a fact. Right? Why the cats? Because you can't trust cats. They fucking stab you in the back the first chance they get. You know what I mean? Cats are like the animal version of Bertie Hearn. You couldn't leave him at a Churchgate collection. You fucking elected him, huh? I wouldn't trust him with my pint while I went to the Jacks.
Oh, you're on fire today, Noel.
So the fence cost him $5 million Aussie dollars, which is about €700. I think, I'm not sure now. It was too much money. And the idea is that they keep the cats out of the wildlife sanctuary. There's supposed to be about 60 cats in the area. $5 million for 60 cats. Huh? Where's Crocodile Dundee when you want to? Huh? I thought them Aussies were supposed to be hard fuckers. Huh? All you hear about them, the Aussies, they're like, oh, crikey.
That's an Australian accent, lads, for anybody who wants.
Oh, there's a spider. He can kill you from 50 metres. Huh? Fucking afraid of a few cats. Fucking apes, laddie. Huh? So they reckon 60 cats in the area, and they eat about 70,000 native animals a year.
My God.
Hungry pricks. Huh? They wouldn't eat a bit of fucking kitty cat. Bit of whiskers. So these feral isle cats, they're in about 99% of Australia, and they're eating all around them. And, you know what I mean? You think cats are cute, no? They're fucking murdering the wallabies. Huh? Huh?
I like cats.
I fucking knew it. I knew you would like cats anyway. At home, stroking the pussy. Now, soft drunk for that. So the fence is going the whole way around the wildlife sanctuary. It's called New Haven Sanctuary, and it's about 350 kilometres north of Alice Springs, another kip. So there's a load of endangered species in Australia. They're called a mala, which is a type of small wallaby. They're trying to be reintroduced. And they also have the black-footed rock wallaby, the golden bandicoot, and the western quoll. We'd be fucked without them, huh? So, it's part of a national campaign called Rewilding. So, it's kind of like hazes of a Saturday night. And they're going to... The diversity of the mammals is going to be like it was, you know, before the Brits came and fucked everything up. So, they're bringing it back. They're rewilding. Now, the sanctuary is about 100,000 hectares. And they want to get it... It's about 10,000 hectares. And they want to get it up to 100,000 hectares. And it's just going to be wild land. Just do nothing. Just they're going to let it... They're going to stop cutting the grass. There's going to be no trimming, no cleaning. It's going to be totally wild. Like Glenn Hansard. So, the fence is... Hey, well, man. The fence is electric. And you just leave it alone. Don't... I mean, if you poke a slither in after it, don't go in. Stay away. And don't even take a piss on it now, because you'll end up with a deep-fried Mickey. So, that's a big fence in Australia. Okay? So, that's a 27-mile-long electric fence for cats.
I'm still laughing at the Glenn Hansard.
You fucking hipsters. Now, a bit of culture for you, so this will probably go over your head anyway. So the BBC have named the greatest story ever told. Did you hear about this, Maureen?
Missed that one, Noel.
My God, did not too much get past Maureen. Obviously you didn't hear about this.
No.
If it wasn't in fucking Playboy or something, you didn't. If they're not, what's that, Hooters or whatever that magazine is. Whatever. I ate in the Shamrock Lounge of a Sunday. That's about it now. So they polled 100 stories that shaped the world. And they got all kinds of scholars and writers and other shysters. And they decided what won it for the best story ever told was The Odyssey by Homer. Back when lads had one name. Like Jesus. Even no second name.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, but I don't think Christ is actually a second name. I don't know if his mother was Mary Christ. Anyway, Homer, a Greek lad. So, a very old story. It's 2,700 years old, this story. And so, it's about this lad called Odysseus, and he fought in the Trojan War against Troy, funnily enough. And he won the war, and he's trying to get home. But he's stuck. Can't get home. Reminds me of the time I went for pints in Johnstown Bridge. I was staying with a lad from Foss in Carberry. And we went down to Johnstown Bridge. I think the nightclub was called, Rapture or something. And I'm sure we came out of the nightclub about 3 a.m. and there wasn't too many left around. And I said, "Hey, George, how are we getting out of here?" And he said, "Hey, Houdini wouldn't get out of here, lad." So that was me. I had one night in Rapture nightclub and he was at war for 10 years. So... The gist of the story is, it says, Odysseus is a husband away from his wife, a father who misses the son grown up, a warrior whose war is over, and a leader whose men all die. So it's a comedy. a bit of a bio, a bit of a Pat Mustard.
Ooh.
You'd like him. He's been sticking at places he shouldn't be now. So he starts off, he's the king of Ithaca, right? Which is just outside Castle Pollard.
and he was over in Troy. Did you ever see the film about Troy?
No.
Did you ever see the film Troy?
Is that the one with Brad Pitt and his small ankles in it?
I didn't take much heed of his ankles, but that's Brad Pitt's in it.
I'm going to look that up now. His Brad Pitt's ankles.
Sorry, no, but I think they like had to do something with Brad Pitt's ankles or digitally because he's freakishly small ankles. So.
Go away.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, so no, but that's the basis of that's the start of the story. And it starts off Brad Pitt he's in the sack with these two haunty ones, right? These two loose women. That's how the film starts, right? And I knew Achilles was tough, but I never knew he had two Mickeys. So Odysseus, he was over in Troy and he's pucking the heads off lads for about 10 years. He had a flake of lads to get through now. And then he wants to get... he sets sail to go home to the wife, Penelope, who is a cousin of Flicker Halley. And there's a big storm, and they land on an island with a giant cyclops. A one-eyed monster. Not the one you're thinking of now. Fucking something wrong with you, young fella. So, you've got fucking gastritis or something now. So, he takes out the one-eyed monster. I think he's a slither or something. Actually, I think Odysseus hurled intermediate for Greece. But he's in trouble because the monster hears his name. The boys are all shouting, "Ah, Odysseus, my good man." And then the Cyclops says, "I'll get my father after you." And Odysseus says, "Go on, so you prick. I'll fight any man. The blood is up now." And who's the monster's father? Poseidon, king of the ocean. A big fucker. So he says, "I'm going to curse you. You're going to have to wander around for 10 years. Can't go home." So he's traipsing around the ocean for 10 years. And he meets this one called Circe, like Game of Thrones. That's where they got the name. And she turns all the boys, all the crew, into pigs. And she says, "I'll turn them back into men if Odysseus will saddle her. If he's going to bed with her." She'd heard about the one-eyed monster, I'd say. So Odysseus obliges, and he says, "Don't tell the wife." So they sail off home after jockeying one, and he gets talking to a load of ghosts, and he meets the ghost of his mother. I swear to God, this is supposedly the best fucking story ever told now, according to the BBC. He meets the ghost of his mother, and she said, "Will you go home? Half the town is trying to ride Penelope." So now Penelope was a fair bit of cake in her day now, so... He gets caught in another storm, the whole crew died, and then he lands on an island, and he's with that one for 7 years. He's fooling around with this other one. Because the king of the ocean was still pure tick with him. And then he meets a few Greeks, and he says, "I was the lad who pulled the trick with the Trojan horse. He's the man who pulled it, and they bring him home." And then he sneaks in, and he meets the sun. And he says to the sun, "We're going to puck the living shit out of all the boys on the island now." And he does. And apparently... that's the greatest story ever told.
Huh? Mind blown.
But to me, it sounds like a lad walking home from the pub. Do you know what I mean?
He just took a wrong turn.
He wakes up the next morning and he's like, "Oh, I stopped for chips. They had no taco sauce. I fought 3 Romanians. You know, I won handy. The wife was sour with me. I cooked a fry. The end."
That is the best story ever told.
So apparently, now if you're at nothing for the weekend... But the whole thing is written like a poem. It all rhymes.
Very good.
Fucking disaster. I tried to read it once. Lad above.
No good.
Fucking like a phone book. Now, my local gripe for the week, here in our own little parish, we have a new teacher in school. Right? And I'll tell you one thing, lads. She's a fucking lasher. Her name is Sinead Ducey. She's from out by the Bad Bend, Ballydrehead there. She's straight out of college. She's no experience. Knows fucking nothing about teaching. I suppose it didn't hurt her uncle is the bishop. I'm sure that had nothing to do with it. I like the old teacher. He was there a long time now. Burke. He even taught me. He taught me back in the day. That's how old that man is now. And he had a stick called Frank. And if you were bold, he'd say, "Do you want me to get Frank?" and he used to bait lads with Frank. And one day, I had my sums done. We were doing corn or something at home. And didn't he get Frank? And he broke it off my hand. And I said, now you prick, have you anything bigger? Well, he took the crucifix down off the wall. Christ crossed the whole lot and he bet me with it. Our Lord himself broke my wrist. Every finger he broke. And now you know why. 19 years I hurled senior and I never caught a ball.
Brilliant.
That's a fact. But he softened up as he got older. Like he taught my son then. Dan. And Dan used to come home with the odd black eye now and that, but it was he had to go in the end. You know the way things are, modern rules and that, like, you know.
Yeah.
There's only so many times you can walk into the girls' changing room and blame it on dementia, you know. So I mean, he's in that school 40 years. He knows which fucking door is which, lad. You know? So new teacher now, Miss Ducey, she took the kids for a nature walk. A fucking nature walk.
Oh,
I mean, in a small town. Should we all know our way around the forest? And she said, last woman I took down the forest came home pregnant. I wouldn't mind getting 5 minutes with Miss Ducey down the Hawthorn, I'll tell you that, lads. And drive it. So, but that one, I knew her family now. She came from humble beginnings. I knew her father, Jimmy Ducey. Long Jimmy, do you know Long Jimmy?
Yeah.
He's fucking tall. That man, he has to go up to the cross to turn. We were out shooting one day, myself and Jimmy. And I'll never forget it. I shot 3 geese with 1 bullet. One shot by 3 geese. And we went for a rake of pints anyway, myself and Jimmy. But they're way out the other side of town. So Jimmy said, I can stay at his place. I said, no matter. Back to the house. Who was there? Only Sinead's mother, Sally Ducey. Now she was a fair bit of tatty, let's say that now. It was no surprise when the daughter turned out a looker. Huh? She arriving into school like a film star. Like a young Brenda Fricker.
Oh, God.
So, very humble beginnings in that house. They actually had no toilet in the house. They had an outhouse. That was back in the day of outhouses. So, we arrived into the house anyway with the geese. And I said, Sally, make us up a few sandwiches there. She was only after bacon and loaf of bread. But twas, you know, no, leave the bread settle now. Not eating until the morning. So, we had only one bed in the house. But, of course, Jimmy wouldn't trust me with Sally. I had a wandering eye, you know. Being a young virile man. So I was putting it inside, then Jimmy, and then Sally be closest to the door. He wouldn't trust me. So in the middle of the night anyway, Jimmy, I have to pee, so I have to go to Jack's, because he after having pints all day. And he made Sally get up out of the bed with him, brought her out to the door. He wouldn't let me in the bed with her. An hour later, honey, he'd get up again. He couldn't handle the drink. None of them Ducey's could handle the drink. And he made Sinead, or made the mother, Sally, get up out of the bed again. And it's freezing cold outside now, out in the outhouse. And the third time this happened, he says to her, now Sally, get up out of the bed. And she says, no, Jimmy, I won't. I'm sick of it now. You may go out on your own. So he goes out to the outhouse. And he lays me in the bed with Sally. And she gives me the eye and she winks at me and says, Noel, now's your chance. Fuck it. I hopped up and I ate the loaf of bread.
Brilliant.
So that's it, lads. You know, the new teacher, she's a good looker, but I hear she's no ability in the hurling field or anything like that. The Australians are soft and don't trust Bertie Horn.
That's your wise words.
Yeah.
Thank you, Noel.
People forget about Bertie Horn, lads. That man invented Ebola. That's a fact.
Noel, as always, thank you very much. People of Ireland wouldn't know what to do without you, boy. I'll tell you that one.
I'll fucking keep you going, bye.
That's it. Thank keep you.
Good luck.
Okay, so after that madness, we're on tomorrow's mystery topic. Is she in the mood to throw us under the bus? We're about to find out tomorrow. What have you got for us?
Right, so it kind of came up in the podcast last week that you just brought it up, and
oh no,
turning me into your own little social experiment. So my mystery topic this week is Tinder. Now, neither of you need to use Tinder because you're celebrities.
Oh yeah.
I was on Tinder for a while, and then I got really, I went to a couple of dates, and then I kind of got a lot of creepy messages and stuff, and I was just like,
that was those undercover.
And then so I kind of came off it. But two of my friends who have met guys on Tinder both recently got engaged, so it does work.
Wow.
So I want to know, what do you think of Tinder? Or what do you think of the whole online dating thing in general? Do you think it's a good idea? What would be your advice to me on how to, keep up, fend off the weirdos? And I also have, before the podcast started, Johnny, you went off to pick up Johnny Smack. So I created my Tinder profile. So
yes,
you can peek it if you want.
We will. Class. We will.
Do we have to download Tinder or can we just look at you?
You can look at it here.
Okay. I've been asking lads lately about Tinder. It came up in conversation, actually. We did a sketch about it. Mm-hmm. And I thought Tinder was purely just for riding. But apparently people actually meet people on it.
It's the idea of Johnny. It's not all about the physical stuff.
But, Mara, you haven't tried professional, those things you sign up and they take all your info and they match you with somebody You haven't gone that far, have you?
No.
But I think that stuff is very normal nowadays.
I think online dating is very normal. A lot of people actually aren't that good to talk to the opposite sex. Mm. Genuinely. A lot of people don't have the gift of the gab. You're much better than me, No, seriously, I'm kind of, I'm awkward,
I'm just the better looking, that's all. Yeah.
It's definitely not that, but... It's certainly not that, actually.
See, I have this thing, right, that before my friends got engaged, I kind of didn't think really online dating worked all that well, and that, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, they are actually set up by friends. I think you're much better off being set up with somebody by people that you know.
You haven't met our friends, Mark.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know, I'm not asking you to set me up with your friends, because,
Oh, Jesus, we will, so, Grant.
Yeah, there's a couple of names coming to mind at the moment.
But I do think, I think the kind of messaging somebody online is, it's very boring, and it's very, I just stop messaging somebody. It's very hard to stay interesting, or, you really have to meet somebody in the
flesh. I have a friend now who will remain unnamed, but he said to me, within 3 messages, he's either meeting up or not. So he'll be writing.
That's pretty direct,
Yeah, he'll be writing to her, and after 3 messages, he'll be McFlurry, ? Bang. That's it. But
he doesn't write bang, sorry. He didn't.
So me writes McFlurry, ? Is that oh, do you want to go for McFlurry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a date as such.
But I do think you need more than 3 messages to go to.
Yeah, but I think you kind of know if it's on. There's no point messaging for 2 weeks and dilly-dallying. Just get it fucking done.
Okay, well,
would be mine.
I sent a message to... I screenshotted something.
Is that the one you put in the group?
Yeah. Because this is
quite strange, I would say. Weird message.
It's not definitely by no way means the worst thing I've gotten on Tinder.
There's some fucking freaks out there, lads.
Yeah.
So the background to this is that last year you did an MMA fight, Mara, yeah?
Yeah, and I had it on my Tinder profile, so...
A picture of you, in them, actually fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Cool. So does it have, Mara, producer, MMA fighter, tea enthusiast?
I have coffee. Right, no, I have a message here, right? So, the guy says... Whatever, MMA fighter, that's awesome. How's your training going? I said, oh, hey, it's good, going good. No major injuries. Are you a fan of MMA? You reply back, cool, haha, yeah, are you expecting some, I think a reference to injuries, not particularly, it's seriously impressive thing though to do fair play. So that was grand. And then he sent another message after that. Gotta admit though, it's like my ultimate fantasy to get with a woman like yourself who trains in some martial arts. Let her slap me right across the face, punch me in the stomach even, wrestle with me, try to pin me down and make me submit. Then, or to be able to do all that while I'm doing my best to overpower you and have my way. Like, what a creepy fuckwit.
Maura, how far into that, how many messages?
That was the third message.
Third message.
Wow, you're as well off going to McFlurry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, seriously, that's just like...
Thank God you didn't actually go and meet Hope at that absolute cretin.
Well, like, tempted to go, but do you know what?
Though? Tempted to kick the shit out of my
right,
yeah.
Around, right, I'm gonna like, because you can find lads on their Facebook profile. If you can find their Facebook profile, you can also find their mother's Facebook profile.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah. Well, like, all lads are friends. Like, most lads' mothers are on Facebook, aren't they?
Yeah, my mother is.
So what do you do
so
with that info?
Screenshot the message, weirdo message, and say, "Hey, Mrs., do you know what your son's after? Send it."
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So,
lads,
if you come across Mara on Tinder, why be careful what you say. Your mother will be waiting at the door for you.
You've been warned.
Yeah.
No, but to go back to that point, I think online dating is a good idea. You know what I mean? Like, some people are good at chatting up birds in a bar. But like, would you get chatted up now, like, on a night out? Like, would fellas still do that? Like, you're a
but like
the traditional.
Can I buy you a drink? Job. Would you take a drink off him though?
Would you take a drink? You would.
Yeah, I suppose so.
If they're good looking.
Yeah, but the thing is then, like, you kind of need to be slightly drunk in that situation.
Mm.
And, you know, you have the beer goggles are gone then, and then you kind of like...
Well, however drunk you need to be, think the fella needs to be, like, two times drunker to pluck up the courage to go up and say to a woman, like, can I buy you a drink? Like, I'd fall down.
I know, I can't... Our mates, like, are useless.
Yeah.
And I'd be trying to say that to them, lads. What's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people just have a thing with rejection. They don't like rejection.
Yeah.
I love it.
It just makes him hungrier for the next time.
Yeah. But, okay, well, I think the online thing, we live in a small town, Care.
Mm.
And it was a bit of a local thing on last night. We went down and showed face. And I was in the pub, and I wonder... Was there, or is there, in the town that I live in, a good-looking single woman, you know, around my age? Is that, does that girl exist for me to meet her even?
Nope.
Nope, not that I know of.
Oh, God.
Zero.
You see, like, the good ones are taken early.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like?
Yeah.
Genuinely, like.
Okay.
So
yeah.
You're going to, like, I would, you'd really consider going online?
Yeah.
If you went on Tinder, though, like, nobody, no one would think it's you, like.
Because the
people think, like, oh, that's a fake profile.
The lads and girls who are in our videos have been on Tinder, and they get loads of messages going, are you in the two Johnny's videos? So
yeah, they're cleaning up the boys, are they? Too serious damage by from the raised Tinder profile.
So online dating, we're in favour, but neither of us have ever been actually on an online platform. We've never been on Tinder, so I don't know. It seems like a bit of crack though, like just kind of swiping left and right and messaging, chatting to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Instagram is the new Tinder anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, like, Instagram, you see a lot more photos and...
But everyone looks good in Instagram.
See, Instagram, like, if somebody follows you, you don't necessarily know if that person fancies you or
not. Yeah.
So, yes, Smacks, he just assumes anyone who follows him fancies him, isn't it?
Of course not. I'm not like that at all. I'm not like Tipperary's version of Pat Mustard sitting across from me there.
2 pints.
2 pints of milk.
Yeah, so, yeah, I do have these on my Tinder profile. So it's
yes, that's class. Sure. We're on a... deadly. We're actually on... I love that photo. We're actually on a lot of...
Tinder profile pictures. We're always getting screenshots of lads. There's some girl who's come to a gig and got a photo with the two of us, and then we're her Tinder profile pic.
Very good. Well, we'll see now how... Like, the thing is as well, like... I'll know if that is my top photo or not, if that's getting sex, because you can do this thing where it's intelligent.
Oh, so you can check out what people are...
Yeah, intelligent photo. So, like, it'll put your photo as the most... Whatever photo it is, it's the most prominent photo. Or the photo that gets you the most swipes. then you, that becomes your main focus.
Maura, I look terrible in that photo. I'm going to have to object.
So look at me as well. That's like 4 o'clock in the morning that photo was taken. Well, it's,
yeah, we all look terrible. We'll get a new group. That's the only photo with the three of us.
Yeah, we need to actually get a professional photo taken of the three of us probably.
So if you're a professional photographer...
Yeah, get in touch. We need photos. But just to finish up on the online thing, can we make this a thing? Can we check back in again next week on the podcast to see how everything was going?
Fill in all the dirt.
Yes.
Well, not all the dirt.
So...
I didn't mean it like that. I just meant that there might be something, like, I'm not going to name lads.
Yeah, we'll block out their names.
But the swiping on Tinder is just, looks like, you don't get much info straight away. Do you know?
You have a profile as well. So, but then you don't really know, some people don't have much information on their profile.
Yeah.
Apparently lads don't read your profile either. Yeah.
Yes. I can imagine that would be the case. Yes. Yeah.
So we'll check back in again next week, lads, with Maura's. We'll see how her Tindering is
so
going.
So if you want to match with Maura on Tinder,
just swipe away, boys.
Look for Maura in Dublin.
Yeah.
We won't give out any more info than that, will we, for now?
There you go. I enjoyed that topic. And we'll be checking back in on that now next week for sure. Once again, don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast and use the hashtag #TwoJohnniesPod. Okay, we've got a hot topic for you here. So during the week, we always discuss, you know, what we're gonna do in the podcast. And in the WhatsApp group this week was top 5 things to do for summer. And I said, I don't really like doing stuff. So I was like, I'll give you top 5 recommendations of stuff to watch if you're a teacher or student, or even if you're unemployed and you've got loads of time on your hands this summer, like... So we came up with this idea. Johnny, you're going to tell people.
Yeah, you wanted to talk about TV, and I'm like, sure, I'm not going to watch any TV this summer. The only TV I watch, I'd say, is like if there's a match on.
That's about it.
That's about it, lad.
Right, so do you want to give us your...
My very rushed last-minute decision topic.
Yeah.
Things to do and see this summer. So I'll start with something touristy that's not quite as touristy as the other touristy things.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Everyone does the Ring of Kerry, right? This is a big thing in Ireland, full of Americans.
But not everyone.
Obviously, you've never done it.
Yep. I went on, is it O'Connor's Pass down there? Fair foggy. Very foggy, like drive-through. Isn't that...
Miles Gap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drove across that there, back in the Gaeltacht days.
Saw it once and...
Yeah, that's it. Like, what do you want to see, like?
Ladies View.
No.
He has a good view of the ladies.
Hey, like, go on, Johnny, give it to us.
Right, everyone's done the Ring of Kerry. I recommend the Ring of Clare. Seen it on Ladies View.
Ladies View sounds like a
shit website.
Yeah, it sounds like an online portal.
A chat show today on Ladies View. Right. You've got
Claire's Ring. Fuck's sake.
So how many times have you visited the Ring of Claire?
Whenever I'm stuck. So Claire's Ring, right? You can start at any point, but coming from this side, you have the Cliffs of Moher. Everyone knows that crack. And then you have Lahinch. Great spot we talked about.
Lahinch is good. Yeah.
Whip around then, and you can go to Kilfenora in the Burn, where they play the tunes, Kilfenora for the dancing, Father Ted's house, up through the Burn. The Burn's incredible, lad. Yeah. It's like a bit on Mars.
I was there.
Reluctantly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you can swing around Ennish Diamond, all that, and the north coast of Clare. Unreal, beautiful. It's nice for the old scenery, and it's nice for the pints. It's not that big. You could probably drive it in one day if you wanted to. So that's the one thing I would say, go out and do.
Okay.
You know, because Clare is fairly wild.
As we know, Clare's Ring is even wilder.
She's a savage. Go on, sir.
So I'm going to give you... I've compiled 5 must watches.
Give us one, sir, yeah.
So they're all on Netflix except for one. So I'm going to start... number 5 is The Royal Family. Nothing got to do with those fuckers over in England now, Ratton. This is actually, you know...
A different show of fuckers in England.
Yeah. So Ricky Tomlinson plays... a guy who just sits around all day watching television.
He's
quite similar to me.
Your personal hero.
Yeah, he's my personal hero. And it's brilliantly written. And it's all kind of nearly shot in one room. Sometimes they go into the kitchen, like, but it's mostly shot in one room. I'm not really selling it here, am I? But it's great. The dialogue is brilliant. There's like 2 minutes of it, and all they ask is, "What did you have for your tea?"
Yeah.
But it's just the style they do
it. Sounds fucking riveting, lad.
I watched it. I agree with it. It's British humor, but
yeah, it's where the idea for Gogglebox came from.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So, and the guy who wrote The Royal Family actually does the voice on Gogglebox. There you go, lads. Yeah. Something new every day.
I think you co-wrote it with Caroline.
Yeah, Ahern. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. It is worth the while.
A genius piece of work.
Okay, well, another thing I recommend you do while Johnny is watching The Royal Family is go to a match. I was at Tip Cork today, right?
You did a lot of research with this.
I went, this is my top thing to do, really, in Ireland, is go to a Crunch GAA game. Today, kind of knockout. If Tip had lost,
there was a good bit on the line anyway, yeah.
Yeah. And in the second half, the atmosphere was absolutely buzzing. I went to my mate Tony. He hadn't been to a Tip match in 3 years. And he said, I haven't felt that adrenaline in years. It's absolute. Lads were up out of the seats.
And that wasn't the six pack of Corona talking.
That he had on the drive. So, buzzing. I would say, go follow your county or else even go to Croke Park. Go to the game. Bar the All-Ireland final, there's nobody to get tickets for any game. So go to a match.
On number four on the must-watch list is my first Ricky Gervais piece of art. Now, I say everybody knows at this stage, I'm a massive Ricky Gervais fan. Absolutely love him. I've only gotten into it recently. So this is called Extras. There's two seasons of it. It's on Netflix. And he plays like an extra in films. But the way it's done, but each episode has a star in it. So one has Samuel L. Jackson. Another one has like Ben Stiller and stuff like that. And it's so fucking funny. And some of the jokes are so inappropriate. But they're still funny. So that's my number four. Don't worry, it's getting better.
Oh, it is. Another thing I want you to all do is go to a gig. Irish people, I think, I've been in bands and I think we're bad to support up-and-coming music. Like, people go to festivals. We talked about this. People go to festivals for the lash. That's grand, right? Festivals are great crack too. Go to a festival. But if you want to see a band, please go and support a band. You don't have to go in the session. You can actually, you're allowed to just go to gigs sober. You won't get turned away.
That actually happens.
there's music on every night of the week somewhere in Dublin. In Ireland, mostly in Dublin. So look up, whatever, Ticketmaster, Eventbrite, tickets.ie. Find out what's going on. Go to a gig. Broaden your horizons.
I love it, Johnny. Do you know what? In another life, lad, you'd be a travel guide, I'd say.
Yeah.
Big yellow t-shirt on you.
I was hitchhiking once and I got picked up by those lads, the paddy wagon. Do you know them?
Oh yeah.
A load of American tourists on the back. And this guy was like, oh my God, what are you doing hitchhiking? I was giving him my story.
Why? That's hitchhiking. Is that not, like, that's like not allowed now, is it?
That
is.
You can do it, yeah. People don't really stop it.
No, there wouldn't be a hope. We had this out one day. I wouldn't pick up a hitchhiker.
Yeah, but I hitchhiked for years. I thumbed for years, like, to and from work and that. So I always pick up hitchhikers now.
To and from work.
Yeah.
How were you guaranteed you'd get in on time?
Ah, you leave early enough, you'd be grand.
Man, you're crazy. But
I only had to do it for a year. But then I was out the front of the bus with the paddy wagon lads. I was singing and all, by.
You're some man. I tell you, you're actually mental. Number three on my must watch list. It's on Netflix as well. It's Mavericks. Okay, so it's a 6-part series based on Mavericks of sport. Something that's gone from the game of sport, lads. Them days are gone. So, you know, you're talking, there's one in soccer, so you're talking Paul Gascoigne and all these gas crazy geniuses as such, like. And that's something that's actually gone from the game. Now, we're only talking about the other day, hurling, GAA. Yeah. They're almost becoming robotic.
Yeah.
You know, they're almost a brand now rather than actual individual with a personality.
Yeah, the guy who won the snooker championship, what's his name, Mark something?
Mark Selby.
Is that his name?
Or Mark Williams, yeah.
Mark Williams.
Yeah.
He was just so funny in that, like, he just kept after he won it, like, he was just posting pictures of him on the piss.
Yeah, dead right, like, that's what you want. And, like, there is an episode on snooker Mavericks, like, and it's, like, Alex Higgins and Jimmy White. And, like, I love Jimmy White, read his book and all that, and I was a massive fan. And I actually went to the Firgrove Hotel in Mitchelstown to see him play an exhibition with Ronnie O'Sullivan. And now I fucking hate Jimmy White.
Why?
So I paid for... my friend Hickey went, and we got two VIP tickets, 50 quid. to sit in the front row. Like, I read Jimmy's book, Jimmy White's book. So it was brilliant, like crazy stories. And I thought he'd come out with himself and Ronnie, play the snooker, and, you know, to tell a few stories and have a bit of crowd interaction. The two of them walked out, played five frames of snooker, not a fucking word of. I may as well watch it on the television. Jesus. And with the VIP package, you got a meet and greet. Yeah. So you actually queued up with other people who've paid £50. And the lads sit behind a table. And you have to buy something and get them to sign it. I bought me hand.
What did you buy?
I bought a red snooker ball.
Yeah?
And it was a tenner, like. And the two boys sign it, like. And they don't even lift their heads. Went up, like, and I put my hand out to Ronnie O'Sullivan. And he gave me his other hand. And just, like, literally went like that with a handshake.
Well, people at home
People at home actually can't see that, but that's what he done. Gave me an old limp paw. And the two of them signed the snooker ball. Didn't even lift their heads.
Didn't even make eye contact.
I was thinking of putting the snooker ball in a sock and warping it off Jimmy White's head. So, yeah, that's my run-in with Jimmy White. But Mavericks, great show. Get on it.
Man, that's disappointing.
What? Never meet your hero, yeah. Honest to God. Steve McManaman as well. He's in that bracket as well. Fucker.
Okay, well, one place you won't meet your heroes, I went to last year, Darren Islands.
The Darren Islands. Darren Islands.
Darren Islands. I went to meet Darren and his islands last year, and they're unreal. I gave a night out in Galway the night before, just so I was nice and seedy, getting the boat. You get the boat out to the Darren Islands, and I rented a bike, and I cycled up across Darren Island to Dunangusa, which is the old fort. And it's absolutely wild and breathtaking. There's no handrail or nothing. You can stick your head out over the edge of the cliff. And it must be...
That give me the willies, now that would.
Could be a mile high. I don't know. It's fair high. It's more. It's queer high now.
Yeah, it might be about 100-125 feet.
Is it even that? Jesus, it is now. It's the biggest thing in the world. Okay, we're going Googling this now. We should have done this beforehand. This is the kind of topic I run here. So, it's unreal. And gave a night there. Loads of crack. It's just like going back in time. And it's just wild and beautiful. And everybody should go out there and soak up that wildness.
The Aran Islands. Okay, yeah. Number two on the must watch list. Gervais is back. The UK office, lads. It's as old as Tay.
A controversial one.
It is controversial. Some people love it or hate it. That's the way it is. The way it's shot. The whole lot. But like, Ricky Gervais plays a crazy boss in an office. And he's just brilliant. But like, I've come across crazy bosses before. I used to work in Iceland. Not the country. The frozen food chain. And my boss in there was an absolute nutter. Insisted my name was Tony. Tony! Tony, you're going to have to come into the office here, Tony. This computer's after freezing. I come in, the computer was frozen. Like, you know the way, it had jammed.
Well,
like,
that's whatever. Iceland for you.
Yeah. And he was like, here, fix the computer, Tony. And I was like, I don't know. Like, it's frozen. What do you want me to do? He's like, you told me you had computer shit. That was on your CV. I was like, yeah, but like, I'm not a fucking engineer. Like, and he called me Tony all the time. And I eventually had enough of it. And one day he said, go out and make a list of what's missing from the freezers and fill it up. And I said, yeah, no bother. And I went into my locker and took out my keys and my wallet. And I walked straight out the front door of Iceland. And
never went back.
Into my car and drove home. I swear to God, I never even handed my notes. Never said nothing. I never even told the people who were working there. I literally just drove home. Had enough. And like, he used to always be on to me about shaving. You're going to have to clean shave, Tony. It was Iceland, though. It wasn't a fucking doll, right? And one day I actually clean shaved. And I came in the next day and he was like, ah, here. You're going to have to go home and shave, I told you. Yeah. Tony. Fucking Tony.
Have you met him since?
I haven't met him since. No, I'm looking forward to it, though. Fucking slap the head off.
Do you want to name and shame him now? Do you want to call him a bollocks?
Shane, if you're listening, fuck you.
Every week we should have a segment where you just vent on people.
The black book.
People who have fucked me over in life. How many more have I got to give?
Have you got?
One more.
Yeah.
This is my favourite one. Drink outside.
Simple.
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 I remember one time my parents went away, and this is years ago. And
this is last month.
The mother was away, and we were drinking outside, and we said, for some reason, my parents, after putting down a new, like a poly tunnel, you know, like a tunnel for a greenhouse. And we all drank inside in that for some reason. So the whole place was perfect, but inside in the greenhouse was like a bomb went off.
My God.
Yeah, and we gave it a good run.
So drink outside, not in greenhouses. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, drink outside, maybe by a river, maybe in a park.
Wow.
Maybe in a beer garden.
You're the man.
Just outside.
You're a genius, boy.
But people look at you weird. Remember a couple of years ago, we were playing Clamalogan senior football, and I went with a bag of cans, sat on the sideline drinking. Mm-hmm. And I got more looks.
Yeah.
Huh?
I don't know if that's allowed, anyway.
Is it allowed to drink cans?
I don't think so.
At a club game?
I don't know.
Let's ring Eddie.
Ring Eddie, he'll know.
Ring our club secretary. Ah, yeah.
Okay, so last thing on the must-see list.
Don't tell me it's Gervais again,
no. No, no, no. Not Ricky Gervais. This isn't on Netflix either. You'll find this on terrestrial TV. A lot of people are going to lose the plot now. But if you're a fan of tits, tans and tossers.
I know
it. Yeah, it's coming, lads. Bank Holiday Monday, it's back. It's back. Love Island. Love Island. Bang. You have to watch it. Johnny, I'm begging you. If you watch one thing, please watch this. Like, so a load of singletons in a house, and the premise of it is they have to couple up.
They're the worst human beings.
Yeah. Hey.
Well, forget DJ Khaled.
When you say couple up, like, do they actually have to smash?
They don't have to, they don't have to smash. No.
Yeah, be,
no, they just have to, like, yeah, be a
hold hands. And
yeah. Like they, it's hard to explain it. Please watch it, lads. I'm sure there's going to be a backlash from men just saying, they're fucking at smacks listening to watching that shit. But I'm telling you now, it's addictive. It's addictive. I know what I'm doing for the next 4 weeks.
Yeah.
How many nights a week is it on?
It's on every night.
What time?
Like 9 o'clock.
What channel?
Honest to God, this is gas, because when we were playing GA last summer, I was like, literally, I'd be rushing from training to get back. So because like, I know like, I could just Sky Plus it, which I do. But I mean, it's all over Facebook and Instagram. So I try and watch it as soon as the live.
Live.
Yeah. And D. Tarrant, a fan of Love Island as well, right?
Is he?
One of the boys down the GA club, yeah. He's older now, he's, I don't know, he's 30 odd.
The man who coined the phrase, football is great. He's a big tall lad, he said, D, what do you think of playing football? It's great, I'm full forward. Catch it, kick it, some crack.
Some crack. And it was gas, we're in the showers, and I was like, oh, I'm going to rush home now. And he was like, oh, why? I was like, oh, I have to watch Love Island. He was like, you watch that? So do I. So I see.
Is it on 7 nights a week?
Yeah, I think so. I think six shows and then a roundup show. So lads, get into it. Get into it this summer. Love Island, baby. Yes.
They need a fucking carton of roundup. Kill them off.
Brilliant. That's our topic. Okay, it's time for yurt or dirt of the week. Johnny B, do you want to kick us off, man?
Yeah, my yurt of the week is a strange one. I got talking to a lad who knows about things and he said, do you know what's missing from your diet, lad? Grapefruit.
Wow, so your yurt of the week is grapefruit.
Yeah, I'd never had one before. And I went into Dolan's, the shop, and I was looking around. You know, our mate Finch works there. He's kind of the king of fruit and veg.
He puts the edge in fruit and veg. That man does.
And I was like, Finch, man, there's no grapefruits. I didn't even know what they looked like. And he was like, yeah, they're over there, you fool. So I bought 2 grapefruits, and a half a grapefruit is probably enough for one sitting. It's good for your stomach. Good to clear you out, bit of a detox. Because my memory of grapefruit, like, I was out in the beer with my mate Eno one night, he's from Dublin. And he woke up the next morning and he was like, ah, jeez, I need something citrusy. Somebody get me grapefruit juice. So I got him grapefruit juice and it was rank.
So you thought you wouldn't like grapefruit?
I love grapefruit. I had a half grapefruit just before this episode.
Wow, that's why you're on fire today.
Yeah, so lads, you know what I mean? Trying out grapefruit.
My yurt of the week is my former club up in Roscrea, Aynan Rovers, the football club. Now, football wouldn't be a stronghold up in North Tip, but the boys are bringing the boom back up there. So, Aynan Rovers, the football club, have won the under 12, under 14, under 16, and minor North Football Championships.
Eh.
Yeah. And I played years with them and never won a thing. So, it's good to see that they're winning all around them now, and yeah, they're my yurt of the week.
How many other teams are playing football in North Tip?
It's on the grow. Like, every club plays it. Like, they just don't give enough respect to it as they should. That would be that's a mild way of putting it. Some teams don't give a shit about it, but like, it's good. You look at it, lad. There's some great footballers up in North Tip.
Okay. Like yourself.
Like myself, yeah. But yeah, they won it 12, 14, 16 minor. So they're my yurt of the week. Shout out to the boys up there.
And also a shout out. We got 100 snaps today. Sometimes we slag Carlo. What did they do today?
They bet Kildare, lad.
They bet Kildare in the football.
Carlo, boy, I tell you, they're good for more than black eyes.
The boom is back in Carlo, so we're building a bridge. We're giving them the laurel wreath.
Yeah, congratulations, Carlo. Yeah. Johnny B, your dirt of the week.
Oh, well, our dirts of the week are joined.
Joined this week. Will I tell them?
You start and I'm going to take...
Okay,
I'm
so
it.
One thing that bugged us on our way back from Wicklow the other night, right? Trying to find, a filling station that's 24 services
hour.
As such, yeah. Why do petrol stations have all their lights on and, like, you know, the big sign with the diesel prices on it, like, and all that, all illuminated when they're closed?
Did they actually have the diesel and petrol prices illuminated?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah, that's bad.
Yeah.
See, that's how I always know if a garage is open or closed, because they have the petrol prices.
Yeah, but the big sign with the brand and all that was really lit up.
Yeah. Mm. So it actually looked like it was open, but it was closed. So that...
No, this is always the case.
Yeah. We got caught like 3 times on
phone. This happens to us every night driving home.
Yeah.
They leave all the lights on.
Yeah.
And they're not even open.
So we've had it. That's my dirt of the week. Johnny, you wanna go more in depth?
Yeah, well, I was in a Twitter spat with Topaz Restore over them not serving coffee. Mm-hmm. We pulled up to a 24-hour hatch.
We're wrecked now at this stage. We've done a show.
Where was this? This was coming out of Dublin, up by the Red Cow there somewhere.
Yeah.
About 1 a.m. Can I get a cup of coffee? Two of us looking for coffee to get home. No coffee. Machine's cleaning. And that's a regular thing.
Well, what's the point being opened?
First of all, every shop has more than one coffee machine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't tell me they're all cleaning all night.
Yeah.
This happens to us.
All the time.
Once a month, definitely, we get turned away with no coffee.
But we were delighted. The lads in Junction 14, which is a top service station, I must say. Ones are available, but they're class in there. I went in the other night. Half one, got a wrap. Freshly made. Your mom made a wrap.
Yeah.
That's service.
Garages, 24 hours. Yeah. I know you have the hatch. The hatch is insulting.
Yeah.
I feel like an animal.
Degrading.
I'm like an orangutan banging for food.
Yeah.
Let me into the shop. What am I going to do, like? Let me into the shop.
And your man, like, so you'd know a coffee. And I was like, oh, grand. Have you got a toilet? No, I had bought diesel. Like,
diesel,
I filled up the car, like. And I was like, do you have a toilet? He was like, no. What's the point, like?
Service station. What fucking service are you providing?
Yeah.
Bar juice, like. Bar
so
diesel.
Topaz Restore, if you're listening, get in touch. And fucking smooth this over with.
Yeah, but they're all at it.
They're all at it, boy. The whole lot of them.
The whole lot of them.
Illuminati of service stations.
And then I couldn't find them on Twitter.
Yeah.
They're gone on Twitter.
They're gone. You burnt them, lad.
I'm looking to have it out with them. Okay? Sorry, just getting off my chest
good
now.
Good man. You vent, boy. You vent.
There
you go.
Yeah, but
all
the shops still say Topaz Restore on him.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Bar the other one. He just want it for me now.
So we're going to scrap him, man. We're going to fight Topaz Restore.
Send out your biggest man.
So
your best man against ours.
All right, lads.
We'll settle this the old way. First guy to die loses.
Don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. That's it for this week's show. Of course, we're in Tullamore on Sunday of the bank holiday in the Bridge House. You'll get tickets from the hotel, I'm guessing, yeah?
Oh, lad, we'll have to do the podcast before we go to Tullamore.
Yeah, or maybe we'll even do it Monday. We'll go crazy.
Oh, people are freak out, lad.
Yeah.
The podcast wasn't up by lunchtime. And
we're getting some abusive messages.
Yeah, tipper after losing the hurling, people were like, lad, I'm depressed. Where's my podcast, you two pricks? Get out of bed. I'm like, I'm not out of bed. We had a meeting, like, we got held up.
There you go. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Snapchat, Johnny B. Tipman, Johnny Smacks.
Because we do put up a good bit on...
We do.
Snapchat, and we often throw topics out.
There
so, does that anything we should suggest? Get on to us on the Snap.
Get involved, and on the hashtag #2JohnnysPod. That's it, lads, for this week's show. So, from me.
Maura, how do we do?
Really good. You've your curly whirly there for you.
Yes, getting that curly whirly into us, boy. We're going off to visit Claire's ring. From me, Johnny Smacks.
I'm staying at home.
Maura's not coming to see Claire's ring. Okay, I'm going to do this again. We're going to get this. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From ring connoisseur, Johnny B.
From producer Maura.
We'll be back same time next week. Good luck.
Good luck.
It's lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Podcast is a Big Ball, Small Ball production.